Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercies and for the word of God. For all those who are still traveling, we commit them into your hands. It is well with them. Lord, make a way for them to get home safely in Jesus' name. Now, O Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. And we declare that it shall be so for us today. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And speak comfortably to them concerning the rest and the peace, the quietness that I give unto them. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. From time to time, we try to revisit these promises of the Lord. And these are great ones here today. The Bible calls them exceeding great and precious promises. Promises about peace, quietness, assurance, and rest. Those are powerful promises. I do not have space in the title of the room to put all of that, but we'll talk about peace, quietness, assurance, and rest. The scripture that I want to start off with today is Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3. And this is the Lord that promises to give us rest from sorrow and from hard bondage. We'll talk about that. So I want to read that first of all to kick things off here. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from thy hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? Ha! Glory to God. So that's what I want to talk about today. You know, from time to time, the enemy try to afflict us, try to put more burdens upon us. You know, and these are burdens in which it causes us to serve. You know, scripture says the hard bondage, even it calls it that. And you remember the story of the children of Israel. They were in hard bondage. Well, many of us may not be in that kind of bondage today, but still we are in hard bondage. You know, bondage of these struggles, you know, it can be work. Sometimes it seems like we are just tied down to something. We're not free to do what we need to do, you know. When you are not free to worship the Lord, when you are not free, you know, because you're tied down, it's like you are in hard bondage still. You know, but the Lord gives his beloved rest and peace. So we want to pray, especially today. We know everybody's got to do what they got to do. But I want to give these scriptures, and I'm going to pray to help everybody that's going through one thing or the other. So you want to, but you can't break free. You don't have time for fellowship, time for sitting down and studying the word, because, you know, it's kind of like we're in bondage to these jobs and different things. You know, so we're talking about that. The Lord said, in that day when he shall have given you rest, you take off this proverb against the oppressor. How has the oppressor ceased? Kind of like, you know, when the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them that dreamed. I mean, you can now say, you know, my goodness, see what the Lord, you know, delivered me from. You know, sometimes when we're going through stuff, we don't really know how bad it is until you get out of it, you know, and then you look back and say, my goodness, wow, see what all the Lord delivered me from. Praise the Lord. God promised us rest in particular, you know, so we want to talk about that. We want to talk about quietness and, you know, from the Lord. You know, the it was not intended for us, you know, to be in hard bondage or through hard labor to make anything happen for us. That was actually like a curse that came, part of the judgment that came because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And he said, well, in sorrow shall thou eat of the land. I mean, you know, that was not the intention from the beginning. You know, the land was supposed to yield its fruit. That's what, you know, God said at the beginning, let every seed and tree having seed in itself yield these things. I mean, they were supposed to yield. It wasn't Adam supposed to struggle and struggle and struggle, but he was disobedient. Well, the plants also became disobedient. Everybody, everything, you know. So now we got to struggle to make those things even yield. You know, those who till the land, they struggle for a long time before the land can grow. You know, in the beginning, God just made things happen. Even God just brought up mist from the ground and watered the thing. And, you know, everything just flourished naturally. Adam didn't have to do. His was just to keep making things, I mean, keep looking to make sure everything is functioning. It wasn't the one that had to do the hard labor to make it work, but as a result of the fall or the disobedience, certain pronunciations were made. And we see now that from that time till today, it's a big time struggle sometimes, you know, for us to make ends meet. And even sometimes it's like we do all this work only to put the money in a bag of holes, it seems like. Because then there's all kinds of problems. You know, you work hard. Yeah, you should enjoy it. I mean, for a man to work hard and enjoy, you know, the work of his hands, that should be the, you know, the gift of God. But if the enemy puts his hand in it, you know, then it becomes, it's like hard bondage. We're just walking. You know, that's how slaves walk. They can't get anything out of it. Whatever they produce, they get nothing. They just produce it for someone else, for their, you know, for their captor, let's put it that way. The person that put them in bondage, their master or whatever, you know, they do all the work, but they get nothing out of it. But that's not what God intended for us. So we want to look at scriptures, you know, that the Lord has given us in the scriptures. You know, it's a good thing, you know, for us to be able to enjoy, you know, the gift of God, you know, but the enemy is the one that has done it. Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing better for a man as you eat and drink, enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw was the hand of God. Yeah, Ecclesiastes 2:24. Well, but if we are not enjoying, we are under a lot of burden. Sometimes even people work so hard, but yet they really can't enjoy it. So we want to pray that the Lord will give us peace. There's more scriptures, you know, that I want to give us today. All the Lord has promised us the portions that we have to do to trust him, but also his promises, you know, that we have to trust the Lord for peace, for rest, for safety. Psalm 4 and verse 8, you know, tells us that, you know, admonishes us, trust in the Lord. We must learn to put our trust in him. And I'm going to talk later on why it is important for us to have, you know, this rest and so forth. You know, the Lord said, and the psalmist said it too, I can lay down in peace. I can lay down and get my sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. So we see the things that he's declaring for himself, declaring peace, declaring rest. So, well, I'm trusting the Lord that he is the one that can make me dwell in safety. The devil doesn't want us to have any of that peace, but the Lord will give it to us. Psalm 23 says, causes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, that's assurance. That's quietness. He leads me beside the still waters. That's quietness. And he restores my soul. You know, Psalm 23 verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He does these things for me. And the Lord invites us. He said, be still. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. What does be still mean? See, enter into the place of rest and quietness. That's what be still means. Enter into the place of rest and quietness and experience the power and presence of God. Powerful scripture, you know, which means that when we are agitated, we may not experience the fullness of his power. You know, we can't know until you are still, is what it says. You can't know and experience the fullness of his power until you are still. Be still and know that I am God. Didn't just say, know that I am God, but first you got to be still. You know, be quiet. You know, have rest from trouble all around. You know, and you can know, experience the power of God. Well, that's the reason exactly why the devil doesn't want us to have it. Because he knows that if you can come into a place of rest and quietness, doesn't mean that, you know, there's nothing going on. There's a lot of things going on, but, you know, your spirit, your soul separated into a place of rest. And you found a way to be able to rest in quietness, even in the midst of the storm. That's what Jesus demonstrated. He was able to sleep. He found a pillow and he was able to sleep soundly in the midst of the storm that was about, that looked like was about to destroy the boat. You know, so he found that place of quietness in the midst of it all. Now, I love to define peace not as the absence of trouble necessarily, that's a good one, but also in spite of it. Quietness and rest in the midst of it, even in the eye of the storm. How you can still have, how can you be still? That's the disciples were distressed. They panicked and they ran to him. I mean, how can you be sleeping at a time like this? We're about to perish. Don't you even care? But his own posture was, you know, look, the storm or whatever is not going to detach me from, you know, my own posture of peace, you know. So he already knew how to do that. He was able to overcome the storm in his mind, you know, even without rebuking the storm. The storm was there, but he was able to sleep through it. He had this peace and quietness about him that the disciples didn't have. You know, so at least at that time, they hadn't learned how to do that. It's important for us to learn how to do that. When we enter into his presence, you know, sometimes we can't even sleep. You know, you've heard people say things like, oh, well, what keeps you up at night? Well, what actually does keep you up at night? Well, Psalm 127 verse 2 says, the Lord gives his people sleep. I mean, you should be able to sleep. There's a cycle that God put in place. You know, this cycle of, you know, you walk and then you rest. You walk and rest. And if you walk, and you can't even rest, either because of too many problems and too much distress, then that's something that shows that the devil has taken away what the Lord is giving to us. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 21, verses 44 to 45 describes how, states how Joshua describes the experience of the people after all of those struggles. They finally got rest. And he said, the Lord gave us rest all around according to all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of the, by the mouth of Moses. You know, he said, none of them failed. Not one word of all of the good promises of the Lord. He gave us rest, he said. And, let's read how he said it. Joshua 21, verses 40. Let me read it from 43 to the end. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and they dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about. This is Joshua's testimony. The Lord gave them rest all about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, for the Lord had delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught. In other words, nothing failed of any of good thing that the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And powerful testimonies of how the Lord gave them rest. Listen to Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. This is a clear promise from God to give us rest and quietness and assurance. You know, this is a scripture that everybody, you know, should get a hold of. You know, if your mind is on the Lord, you're following the Lord with all your heart, like Jesus demands of us, say, seek the Lord first and his righteousness. Well, that's a promise, you know, that he said, you know, the work of righteousness shall be peace. Hallelujah. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation. There will be no trouble in your home. This is a promise. And if you are experiencing the opposite, well, come back and claim the scriptures. My people will dwell in peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, you know, and in quiet resting places. Sure dwellings also means the enemy cannot dispossess you from the possession of the Lord. Just, you know, remember how Israel dispossessed all those people and drove them out? Well, the enemy cannot dispossess you or drive you out, you know. For instance, you know, those that the Lord brought into such a land as this, you know, there was a promise to the children of Israel that they would get to a land flowing with milk and honey. And the land of America for many centuries, or decades, being that a land flowing with milk and honey and a place, you know, to desire to go to for some. And, if the Lord made a way for you to get here, the enemy cannot dispossess you. Praise God. So you would dwell in a peaceable habitation and sure dwellings. Yeah, not up and down today. You're not sure, you know, whether, you know, somebody is going to out you or whatever. No. Dwell in quiet resting places, sure dwellings, you know, and this is the promise of the Lord for us. Take it with you and eat. You know, how do we use the promises of God? Well, you use the promises of God to change your situation to align with that promise. I mean, if something is going the opposite of what God promised, then we begin to use the word of God to claim what God promised for us. come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, and I will give you rest. You know, in other words, you know, the labor, the heavy laden, and so forth, the sorrow and hard bondage that enemy may put upon us. Jesus said, come unto me. I'll give you rest. And so we got to learn how to come to him. You know, take upon you my yoke. You know, learn of me, he said. Well, one of the things, learn, you know, he talks about meek and lowly, but I also like to learn of him, of his posture in the midst of the storm. You know, how you can just be quiet, you know, while everybody else is panicking. That's another thing we can learn from him. And his own yoke is different. His own yoke is not hard labor. That's what Jesus said himself. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. So trade the hard labor for the yoke of the Lord. You know, I said before that nobody can be yokeless. You must be yoked to something. You are either yoked to these heavy bondages that the devil put upon you so that you will not be able to serve the Lord, or you are yoked to the Lord. And when you are yoked to the Lord, it doesn't matter what else is going on, you will always find a way. Hallelujah. You know, to have that connection and stay connected to the Lord. You know, so the Lord promises us rest and peace. Let's talk about peace too, a little more. John 14:27, my peace do I give unto you, Jesus said. Not as the world gives. I mean, this is not the kind of peace. The world's peace, well, for one thing, when they shall say peace and peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. They are all lying to one another, you know. So enemies who are at war are always lying when they said, you know, we're going to do ceasefire. You know, they are not really meaning it. They are looking for the other person to lay down their weapons. And then they come in there and strike. We've seen that happening. And the world's peace is only when there is no fighting between neighboring countries. That's what they call peace, and so forth. Well, or there is no internal fightings. Well, you know, the peace that Jesus gives is even if all of that is going on. You know, he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. You know, but this peace that I give to you, because the devil didn't give it to you, so the devil can't take it from you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled in the midst of the storm, neither let it be afraid. That's the kind of peace that Jesus gives. Jesus never said there will be no storms. In fact, he said there will be storms. He gave a parable, you know, at the end of the long sermon on the mount. He gave a parable, you know, and said, well, you know, I'm going to liken a man that hears my words and doesn't do them to somebody that built his hand on land, in house on the sand. I will also liken the one that's hearing my word and taking them to heart and using them to one that built his house upon the rock. You know, and if you read the parable, he said, well, you know, both of them experienced the same, you know, challenges. He said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. So it's not, maybe the rains will come, maybe the floods will rise, maybe, no, he said the rains came. So, whether your house is built on the sand or on the rock, you will experience these things. difference is, you know, what kind of foundation do you have? A shaky mind, a shaky foundation. You know, so if you have a solid foundation based on the fact that you spend time reading the Word of God, aligning your mind with these promises, such as the ones we are talking about today, well, then you can have assurance that your house will remain standing, you know, even after the storm has come and gone. Isaiah 43 verse 12 also say, verse 2 also says the same thing, that you will definitely experience these troubles. It's not if you will, it is when you pass through, you know. You will definitely experience this thing. But with that declaration, it's a prophetic declaration in Isaiah, we also see the ending of it, even in that declaration, because he said, I will be with you. You know, the thing will not overcome you. Whether it's fire, it will not burn you. Whether it's flood, you will not drown in it. But you are coming out on the other side. Because he said, when you pass through, you know, so you will pass through it. Well, during the time that you are going through, it may be very rough, but that's why we come in this room from time to time and try to give encouraging words, such as today, to help you through the process. Praise God. But, you know, there's a promise that he will see you through and give you rest. And Proverbs 23 and 18 says, there is an end just around the corner. Yeah, it can't last forever. Praise God. You know, whatever you're going through right now, in the day that God will give you rest, you will look back and say, ah, when the Lord turned my captivity, it was just like a dream. You know, it cannot last forever. Your expectation of God's deliverance will not be cut off. Proverbs 23 and 18. It won't last forever. There's surely an end, he said. There's surely an end to it. Even Psalm 30 and verse 5 said the same thing. It says, sorrow may endure for a night. So in the day of thy sorrow and the day of your hard labor, it will endure for a time, but it cannot last forever. Deliverance is coming, and we need to have that expectation. That joy is coming in the morning, that the day is going to break. I mean, these are things that we must encourage ourselves with. You know, I mean, how I wish that we can just go through days and weeks and months and years of no trouble whatsoever. God did it at times for some people. That was a period of time, 15 years that King Asa had peace and rest. That was a period of time that Solomon, because his father fought a lot of battles, you know, the father had no rest. David had no rest whatsoever. Was always fighting one battle or the other, running from pillar to post. But Solomon, on the other hand, God gave him rest. You know, so God can give us rest. But even when there is unrest around you, or situations that could trigger unrest, well, we've got to train our minds on the promises of God. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he said, you will have these problems. You know, there's no corners to cut. He said, look, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. There is no ifs and perhaps about it. You will. But he said, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. That's the good news. Is that, look, the same things, you know, can happen to those whose houses are built on the sand and those whose houses are built on the rock. The same things will happen to them. But, you know, the ones that are built on the rock will be able to withstand. That's the difference. Doesn't mean that all of a sudden, just because you are now a believer or you're a child of God, you never experience these problems. For the most part, God can actually keep you from, especially the problems that are caused by lack of wisdom and foolishness and error. those ones are preventable. Because the Holy Spirit can help you prevent those ones. A prudent man, the Bible says, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The Holy Spirit can show you the evil, the landmines that are there, and help you to navigate, you know, and you escape some of those pitfalls. And through wisdom, you can. But you can't escape them all. There are some things that's not because of what you didn't do right or what you did wrong. I mean, it's just some things will just happen, you know. Now, we pray. And this is Jesus taught his disciples to pray against those things. He said, keep us from evil. He even prayed for us like that. And he said, you know, taught his disciples to pray that too. Keep us from the evil. Lead us away from temptation and all these things. So we must pray and believe that God is able to keep us. But when evil does come, and it will, because there's nobody that can go through it with life without it. Remember, when it comes, the Lord is with you through the fire, through the storm, and he will bring you out of it. He will also give you rest in the day when he delivers you, and you will be able to take up this proverb. It's like a testimony that you can now say, ha, how has the oppressor ceased? Glory to God. My goodness, look at all I was going through. You know, the children of Israel, they were in bondage for so long, hard bondage in Egypt, that they didn't even know how to be free. You know, they didn't know it. I mean, when slaves, slaves for so long, they don't know how to be free. Long time ago, I watched a movie of somebody who was in prison for so long. And when they came out, you know, they didn't even know how to be free. You know, they finally found a job at, you know, some grocery or some store. And every moment they had to raise their hand to, they wanted to go to the restroom. You know, they didn't know how to be free. They'd been in bondage for so long. And the store manager had to say, look, you don't have to ask me every time you want to go, just go. Because he had been in prison for so long that he didn't know how to be free, you know. And I said, wow, you know, lessons of life. Some people have been in trouble for so long, they don't know how to be at peace, you know. And Job tells us one wonderful way that we can be at peace. It doesn't necessarily mean that there will be no troubles, but for the most part, we can escape many things, you know. But here is how the Job puts it in Job chapter 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with the Lord and be at peace. In other words, draw close to him. You know, I think let him be even more than an acquaintance. Let him be a close friend, you know, that you are always in communion with. You know, that will be a peace. You know, that will bring you to a place of rest and peace. He said, thereby shall good come unto thee. Job 22 and verse 21. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Jesus said the same thing. A man that receives my word and lays them in his heart and doing them, his house will stand. You know. Now, lay up his words, like his promises and different things. If thou return to the Almighty, this is a good thing, you know, then thou shalt be built up. Yeah, don't never run away from the Lord. You know, some people, when they are in trouble, they get away from the Lord. You know, that's the wrong thing. When things are good, when things are bad, when things are ugly, no matter what, you come to the Lord. Come to the Lord when it's good. Come to the Lord when it's bad. Come to the Lord all the time. Just come to the Lord. He is our life. He's our peace. I mean, where else will you go? Peter said, well, when Jesus saw everybody departing, the crowd, after he gave them some hard doctrine, he said, well, he looked at the 12. Will you also depart? And Peter, always quick to speak. You know, he gave a good answer. He said, Lord, where shall we go? You know, you are the ones that have the words of eternal life. There is no place for us to go. you know, whether I'm up or down, whether I fall or I'm up or I'm down, or I'm good or I mess up, I'm coming to the Lord. That's what Peter said. And he demonstrated that too. You know, after I denied the Lord and everything, he came back to the Lord. He didn't go and hang himself like the other fellow did. You know, so where shall we go? Or from your presence? We can't do it. Where shall we go from that presence? Psalm 139 said it. You can't do it. But more intentionally, we come to him. You know, the prodigal son one day finally said, you know, the scripture said, when he came to his senses, he realized that, look, there's only one place to go. There's only one solution to this problem. I got to go back to my father. That's the best part of the story. Came to his senses. Yeah, done all kinds of things. Squandered his living. Messed around and done all riotous living and so forth. You know, well, one day, praise God. And one day he came back. And I would like to say to people this way, you know, it's not what you did yesterday or what happened to you yesterday or whatever. It's today. What are you going to do next? You see, that's the thing. I've preached this sermon once before. See, what are you going to do next? That's what God is interested in. Not so much, you know, what you did yesterday. Today, if you make a choice, you know, to clean that up by coming to the Lord, he's all good with it. I mean, they brought to him a woman caught in the middle of adultery. And Jesus it wasn't about what she was doing or what she had done. It's what are you going to do now or next? See, what are you going to do next? That's what's important. Are you going to come to your senses and go back to your father? That's a question to the prodigal son. Or you are going to stay there and wallow away in your sorrow and your misery, you know, and bemoan all your problems? Or are you going to get up and go back to your father? What are you going to do next? That's the most important thing. When Moses finally came face to face with the pillar of fire, the burning bush, the Lord wasn't, you know, talking about why he ran away from Egypt. The Lord already knew all of that. You know, what the Lord was talking about is, what are you going to do next? I have an assignment for you. Are you going to do it or not? See, so it's, what are you going to do next? What is your next step? You are in the middle of a crisis right now. And everywhere I turn, every prayer meeting I attend, everything that we do, always prayer requests, which are good, but it just indicates all the problems. I mean, there's always trouble everywhere. But the question is, what are you going to do next? Are you going to sit there and say, nobody knows the trouble I feel? I hate that song. You know, I remember when I was a young man in high school, they used to sing that song a lot in the 70s. I'm like, so one day I finally, I'm like, what is this song? I hated this song. Nobody knows the trouble. Why am I going to sit down there and be talking about my troubles? When the Bible says, you know, shake yourself from the bands around your neck. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Lose yourself. Shake yourself from the sand. Lose yourself from the bands of your neck. Arise and get up and shine. You know, you're going to sit down there and bemoan your losses. You know, and they used to sing, they call them, you know, something, whatever, spirituals, and they would just sing all the blues and so forth. You know, like, what? I don't sing no blues. No, praise the Lord. You know, how shall we sing the song of the Lord in the land of captivity? Or how shall I sing the song of the enemy, even in the land of peace? Because, you know, peace I give unto you, Jesus said. You know, so we've got to make up our minds what you're going to do next. And you're going to take a step of faith and search out the scriptures for the promises of God that can change your story. Or you're going to stay there and lick your wounds. You know, nobody should stay down licking their wounds. You need to get up, get a hold of these promises such as this that we're sharing today and use them to change your story. That's right. Remember that God's word carries the power to create change. You know, and when you see in his promise that in the day that is coming, the Lord will deliver you from your sorrow, from your distress, and from your heart bondage, and you're going to be able to take up a lamentation or even a proverb against the oppressor and say, look at what God has done for me. He has delivered me from your hands. Some of you, it may be, you know, a horrible schedule on your job that preventing you from even having time for anything. Sometimes it's trouble at home, kids and this. Sometimes it's your own personal schedules. You know, you got work, you got school. Sometimes it's exams. Sometimes it's bills. And sometimes it's trouble. Your car breaks down constantly. You know, you got to fix this. You know, you live in a hot area. There's no AC. Yeah, you got to fix it. All the money you earn, you have to use it on all these things. So all these problems, you know, but in it all, you know, the Lord has a way, you know. Now, when I was in high school, I learned some laws of physics and different things, you know, and the law of motion and inertia, Isaac Newton and the rest of them, you know, a body at rest. See, tends to remain at rest. Well, and a body in motion, you know, tends to remain in motion. Or, you know, I put it this way. One time, Lord showed it to me that, look, when you are agitated, you are more likely to continue to be agitated. And, you know, Isaac Newton figured it out. You know, you are at rest. The law of inertia, you tend to remain at rest. But if you are constantly agitated, then you tend to be more agitated. You know, so we need to enter into rest. He that is entered into God's rest, ceased from his labors. Doesn't mean that you won't have labors or whatever, but they won't be burdensome. God has a way to make it light. He said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, the Lord talked about rest for his people. He promised rest to some people, but they wouldn't take it. You know, they've been so long in unrest, they didn't even learn, they couldn't understand how to enter into rest. They didn't know that God could give them this victory and this rest that he promised. Because they were slaves for so long, for as long as they remembered. They've always been slaves. They were all that generation that came out of Egypt. They were born in slavery. They were slaves all their lives. They didn't know that it's possible to be free. And so their minds were always going back into slavery. Even though God said move forward into freedom, they wanted to go back, you know, to their bondage. Because that's how they were being oppressed, you know, all their lives. You know, listen to this. From verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. That's a rest. See? And if you have entered into that rest, you know, he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works and did these things, even as God did from his. You know, so, I mean, God walked, we're told, day after day, used his word to command things, and virtue came out of him to do all those things, you know. And finally, when he did the greatest of them all, which is, you know, create man in his own image. Oh, there was nothing else to do. He created everything. Imagine and done everything. Now he's created Adam. There's nothing else to do. He's done it all. A peak of his imagination was Adam. Create man in my own image. And he did, you know. So, there's nothing else to do. So now he can rest. Adam is in charge. But we see a lesson here, you know, that God walked first and then took a break later. Don't take a break at first, you know. It's the young people. When you have chores to do, do the chores first. Don't take a break. Finish it, you know. Tell some of my kids when they were growing up, finish, be a finisher. Don't be doing, take a break in the middle of your chores. So finish the thing. Then you take a break. But if you have a 30-minute chore and you take, you know, 3 20-minute breaks in the middle of a 30-minute chore, you'll just be taking break. You won't finish that thing. You know, so let's follow God's pattern. And that's good. You know, that's why, I mean, it's good that in the early years, it's good for us to work hard early, is what I meant to say. Work hard early, it's good. Lamentation 3 tells us that. It said, look, it is good that a man should bear the yoke. I mean, all this burden and so forth. Well, get it over with in your youth. Lamentation 3 and verse 27. When you are young, Jesus himself gave principles like, look, when it is daytime, that's when you should walk. No man can walk in the night. Well, there are daytimes, you know. Is it better for you to, you know, have all these struggles early in life and learn and be done with it and then enjoy, you know, than at the end you are just enjoying. You know, people who waste their early years, later on when they finally wake up, they will still be doing things that they should have done earlier in life. But it's good, you know, if you still do it. But it's better that you do it while you were young. It is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth when he has the strength. Go to school, do all these things. Go to higher learning, do all of them when you are younger. Can you imagine me at my age now, trying to say, well, I'm going to go to law school, or I'm going to do this. You know, it'd be very, very difficult. I remember even once when I tried to go back to finish my master's because I didn't get a chance. You know, I've always been a finisher. I don't like to start something and not finish, but I started that master's and I couldn't finish. That's when I lost my job. I had to pick up consulting. And I started the master's in the middle of that job. They promised to pay for it. And I started to do it. And then I lost that job. And this, you know, of course, I was on my own. And I had to pick up consulting. And consulting took me out of state and so on and so forth. And I couldn't stay in one place to complete that job. And many years passed. And that thing troubled me because I always been a finisher. You start something, finish it. I'm just, you know. Bible says the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the hands of this, I mean, foundation. His hands will also finish it. You know, that's what I've always believed. So finally, many years later, I came back, you know, when I had rest from all of the consulting and said, well, now I can be in one place. I don't travel all over the place anymore. I cannot finish this thing. I wanted to finish it. But I guarantee you, many years had passed, you know, by the time I was trying to do that. Many years had passed. And it was a hard thing, you know. It was a hard thing. So this is why you do the labor when you are still young. You know, I would read things. I used to be somebody who read something once and that's it. I got it. I didn't forget. I came back now after, you know, almost 2 decades gone. I pick up these books and I was like, what is this? You know, it didn't look like Greek. You know, it was so hard. Yeah, I'm like, what did I get myself into? You know, but I was determined that I'm going to finish this thing. You know, this thing cannot get the better of me. It's something that my mom used to tell me and my dad when I was young. You know, anything that cannot speak cannot get better of you. You know, I will finish this thing. I will get the better of it. I will do it. And I did it by the grace of God. You know, but it was a lot harder. So I'm telling you, you know, I came back 15, 16, 17 years later, a lot harder. I read something three times over before I would get it. It's something that would have taken me in my heydays, as they said, you know, 15 minutes, breeze through the page and got it all. Never will forget it. Now I have to read hours, you know, read the thing over and over again. It's like, come on now, what's happening? Shake my head like this. You know, I try to shake the cobwebs. You know, like, what is going on? Why can't I? And I realized, you know, this is all vanity. Like the man said, well, so I looked and I realized. And I said, well, my goodness, it's good for a man to bear the yoke when they are younger. And I was still young, actually, but, you know, I was older then. So bear the yoke in your youth. Those of you who are still younger, do what you need to do now. Because when you try to do it later, it'll be harder. You know, when it is nighttime, no man can work. When it's you are in your daytime now, do the hard work. You know, and then later on, you relax. Hallelujah. And enjoy. Praise the Lord. But that is work that you choose to do to advance yourself. Not unnecessary stress that the enemy puts on you. But even in the middle of whether it's the enemy or you that choose to do it, the Lord can still give you rest. By the inspiration of the Almighty, He can come in there and give you grace. Hallelujah. Did you know that the Lord is called the Redeemer of time? Well, yeah, He redeemed the time. You come in here, you spend a couple hours every morning here listening to these messages and so forth. Well, the Lord can redeem that time for you. He does that for me every day, really. I'm like, you know, I spend 3 hours every day, you know, either between preparing, doing this and that, actually more than that. But at the end of it all, well, the Lord will redeem that time. You know, somewhere along the way, the Lord will give me inspiration of the Almighty. You know, I'll figure out something that would have taken me, you know, days or weeks. Maybe I'll just figure it out. You know, God will just give inspiration. And then He will redeem that time. Praise the Lord. Yeah, He's the Redeemer. Anytime you put something in God's hands, He will multiply and give it back to you. You give God a couple hours of your day, well, He can multiply back in kind for you. That's right. He can even multiply back in many different ways too. So the Lord will give you rest. Praise God. And I pray that my words today will be a blessing. The God of peace Himself shall give you peace by all means. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16. By all means necessary, God will give you peace. But look for that peace in Him. Praise God. You can't find that peace in anything else, but only in Jesus. Remember, He's called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. He's the Prince of Peace. And, you know, In me you have peace, you said. Not in the world, but in me you have peace. You know, the reason we need quietness and rest is because God, you know, I said I'm going to explain why we need this. But the reason we need quietness and rest is because God ordained this pattern from the beginning. Pattern of walk, that's what I've been talking about the last few moments. Pattern of walk. Walk, 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 then rest. You can't walk, 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 and no walk. And no rest, rather. And more walk, and no rest. More walk, and no rest. Well, you're liable to break down or something. It's going to happen. Jesus Himself said in, you know, Mark chapter 6 and verse 31 to His disciples, He said, look, because He saw that they were so busy, the Bible said in that verse, Mark 6 and 31, that they were going and coming And there was so much hustle and bustle, so much carrying on. They didn't even have leisure to sit down, relax, you know, even eat. But Jesus saw all that was going on. He said, this is not good. You know, you need to take the load off sometimes. So come ye yourselves to a desert place apart and rest for a while. That's where the word retreat comes from. And so now we do retreats and different things. And sometimes we need help too. Not just help from the Lord, but even physical help. You know, Adam couldn't do it all by himself. God had to give him help. And neither can you do it all by yourself in the ministry or anywhere. Whatever you're doing, you can't do it all by yourself. Your family can't do it all by yourself. You need help. You know, so we read, you know, that story about Moses and Jethro, his father-in-law. You know, we read that story in, you know, Exodus 18 and so on. Moses was doing all these things. His father-in-law Jethro told him, well, what you are doing is not good. From morning till night, then the next day morning till night, the next day morning till night, all by yourself. You're going to kill yourself. I mean, you're going to wear out these people and you are going to kill yourself too doing it. You need help. And Moses was a prophet. As a man had seen the glory of God, had seen God. You know, well, yet he needed some advice, someone, and some help. You know, and thank God that Moses listened. And the man told him, he said, look, what you do is not good. Look, here's my advice. And you see if the Lord will tell you so. You know, check it out. And if the Lord tells you so, you see whether this is good advice. And it was good advice. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do, he told him. Why don't you set, you know, captains among the people, leaders and so forth, you know, captains of 1,500, this and that. And, you know, let them handle the lesser cases and you handle the big ones and the things about the word of God and so on. But, you know, dish out, learn how to farm out the work and share the responsibility. Praise God. Otherwise, you're going to kill yourself, he said. So this is also another way that God gave Moses rest. Through godly counsel from the place where you least expect it. God can give you godly counsel. And God gave him counsel and he got some rest. And he found out that, oh my goodness. Wow. When he did as he was advised, he got rest. You know, so God wants to give us rest. Many ways that he wants to give us rest. And we need to take that rest. Praise the Lord. You know, the time, you know, during physical rest and peace that God gives us, it's an opportunity actually for advancement. God can speak to you more clearly. You can figure out how to do other things. You know, there's a story of Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 1 through 8 tells us that in those years when God gave him rest, see, now this is the thing to do. You know, some people don't know how to use their time for rest, you know, to get positive gains, you know. Even when, you know, sometimes God, allow situations to force you into a scenario of rest. You may lose your job. Well, you know, take advantage of that and strengthen yourself and see what you can do more for yourself and even for the Lord. In those years where Asa had rest all around from all the fighting and all the wars and so forth, he said, wow, you know, because we have sought the Lord our God and he has given us rest all around. Well, let's take advantage of this rest. There's nobody troubling us right now. Let's build, let's expand, let's do things and so forth. Beautiful story. I don't want to read it, but you can read it yourself. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, just read the first 8 verses and see how during a time of rest, he was able to do more, you know. And, you know, that's what we started off with, you know. David himself in 2 Samuel chapter 7, the first 3 verses. When God had given him rest, he wanted to do more. He said, well, the Lord has given me rest finally. You know, from all these troubles, you know, run away from this and that, Saul and all the fightings, Philistines, and even Absalom and everybody, you know, it's life was just, you know, a life of blood all the time. So finally he said, well, the Lord has given me rest on every side. Well, what can I do for the Lord? I want to build the Lord a house. You say, that's a good thing. When the Lord finally gives you rest, do more for the Lord. It's not the time to retire from the Lord's business. There's no such thing. And the Lord gives you rest, you do more. Praise the Lord. Well, for many years, the Lord has given me rest. Not the kind of rest that I'm not retired. I have a full-time job. My full-time job is can go for hours, you know. And wife will tell you. You know, I work every single day most of the time, at least Monday through Friday, sometimes even on weekends. But the rest that the Lord gave me is that now I can work from home. See, it's a kind of rest. And because I can work from home, you know, I can do more for the Lord. All the work from, all the hours I would have spent in traffic, you know, maybe 1.5 hours, or 2 hours in the morning, getting ready, getting dressed, and driving to work and all of that. And then the reverse in the evening, all the hours you spend fighting traffic to get back home. Well, maybe more than 3 hours. Well, so the Lord has taken away that struggle of 3 hours. Well, I can use 3 hours in the morning for the Lord. Yeah, that's the way I see it. You know, so when the Lord gives you rest, figure out how to do more for the Lord. So this is not the time, say, the Lord gives you rest and you start to mess around. No. Do more for the Lord. If you don't, you might get into trouble. David, the moment when he was careless, when the Lord had given him rest, instead of going to battle, you know, he was, say, well, you know, I'm going to go up here and relax and do this. He got into trouble. His eyes started wandering where he shouldn't have wandered, and it got him into big trouble. So when the Lord does give us rest, use it to the glory of God. Anything that the Lord gives us. Let me summarize today's lesson. It's about God giving us peace. I want to use this Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 to summarize it. You know, say, look, all the troubles that you're going through, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. But commit it into the Lord's hands. The Lord's able to give you peace, he said. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget the with thanksgiving part. Always give thanks to the Lord for what he has already done. And praise him for what he's here to do. And he said, and the God of peace grant you, you know, understanding. I mean, peace that passes understanding. So why? Well, not necessarily whether he removes the problem or not. Let's read it together. We're going to close with this one. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It's a good way to think about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, you know, be careful for nothing. It's in King James. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, see, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't say, but God will remove the problem. No, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But one thing he will do is he will grant you peace. See, the next thing that follows after you commit everything to God's hands without, you know, overstressing yourself through it, is that God will give you peace. That's what follows. You know, peace follows our committing it into God's hands. And God will give you a peace that people will say, how can you sleep through the storm? Well, it's a peace that passes understanding. People can't understand it. You yourself will wonder, you know, but it's God that gives you. It's not because he removed the storm, but he gave you peace through the storm. See, that's what verse 7 here is saying. The peace of God passes understanding, whether he removed his thumb or not. But also God wants us to grow to that point where the storms have no effect on us. That's it. That was the difference between Jesus and the disciples. He had matured to the point where the storm had no effect on him whatsoever. He was just going to sleep through it. So, you know, we need to develop our maturity to that point. And, you know, if need be, you can rebuke the storm, but not necessarily all the time. Let the storm do its thing. The storm will pass. That's what Jesus was going to do. Just sleep. He wasn't going to rebuke any storm. You know, there was a lesson he taught there. He can rebuke the storm if necessary, if people around him are panicking. Not for his own sake. He rebuked it for the sake of those who were panicking. As far as he was concerned, he was just going to sleep through the storm. So, can you sleep through the storm? Basically, it's what's your posture? Are you a body that's at rest, that continues to be at rest? Or are you someone that's agitated, that will then continue to be at agitations? You know, so if you are at rest, you continue to be at rest. And God of peace, God of rest, will give you rest. My people shall dwell in quiet resting places. And on that day, in that day such as this, when the Lord shall have delivered you from your sorrow and from your hard bondage, which the enemy had caused you to serve and to put upon you, then you will take up this proverb against the devil and say, how great is our precious seed, for the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I'm going to pray for everyone that's going through. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for you. Well, you are coming out on the other side because you are only going through. Praise the Lord. So we know that you're coming out on the other side. And during the process of going through, during the process of passing through the fire. Oh my goodness. We know it's not easy. And during the process of passing through the floods, you will not be overwhelmed. You will not be drowning. The Lord will uphold you. The fire will not burn you. The storms will not drown you. In the name of Jesus, lift up your heads. Hallelujah. The King of glory is with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take a hold of these promises of God. Encourage your hearts by the same. Even as we have tried to encourage you with the scriptures today, may the Lord grant you the grace and the internal fortitude. Even when you are all alone, you're not in this room, the rest of the day, you are all by yourself. Well, take what you've learned in this room. Hallelujah. Use it for yourself throughout the day. Say, I will say of the Lord that he is my rock and he is my fortress, he is my shield, my high tower, and in him will I trust. I will say of the Lord that if the Lord be with me, why should I be afraid of a storm or this? Because the storm will pass. Begin to encourage yourself. Sometimes those storms seem like they will never pass or they are not passing, but they will pass. Because sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Now, during this night season that you may be going through with sorrow and hard bondage in which the enemy has caught you to serve, may the Lord grant you the grace to look up and see that the day is about to break. Glory to God. For surely there's an end. The expectation of the day, they that watch for the day, say, my soul waited for thee, Lord, you know, even more than they that watch for the day. Are you watching for the breaking of day? Something is about to occur. And you can use the word of God to hasten it. The goodness of God to turn around the situation and bring you into a place of peace. Hallelujah. Now, Lord bless everyone. Listen to this. Lord bless everyone that may listen later on. It is well with you. I say to the righteous that it is well with you in Jesus' name. My people shall dwell in quiet resting places, rest and assurance forever. Thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name we have declared. Amen and amen.